Hallelujah. Very good afternoon to all of you. Welcome to Cathedral of Glory, our Christmas celebration service today. Praise God. Let us all stand as we want to prepare to give our thanks and praise unto the Lord this afternoon in this place. Amen. Can we all lift our hands together, hallelujah, and declare, the Lord is good and His mercy endureth forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us now begin. And I want to give the Lord thanks and praise. And we just start off, Brother Jeff. Amen.
Okay, just invite you to sing along with some of these Christmas songs. Some of these lyrics may be a bit wordy, but it's okay if it's a bit too fast. Just listen as these songs tell a story. Okay, let's go. Hark the heavenly angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled, joyful all the nations rise, join the triumph of the sky.
Oh, And she, Mary, brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to its men.
Where they lay keeping them.
life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. Look now for glad and golden hours, come swiftly on the wind. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing.
Can't sing in English. Rallori nasa kalini koshna ma ina larino sika nilo na yaza. Shiriana Kiniana la Hosiriana la Masha la Masha Honia Tilia Tilia Salamasha la Masha Ariana Honia Sa Ariana la Masheria Salala Masha Kimeria Tilia Shiria Tilia Sha Haria sho, Haria salamasha, Haria salamasha, Haria talamasha, Haria talamasha, Gamasha, Haria talamasha, Haria tekemasha, Talamasha, Talamasha, Gemeria salamasha, Talamasha, Haria shiria talamasha, Haria talamasha. Haria Siberia Sadala Masheberia Tilia Tilia Tilamas Everia Sikemeria Tilia Rudomombo Baba Tibiriatna Haria Siria Tilia Tilia Vrianti Kibariasna Haria Sheria Dala Mashala Momo Sheria Tirias Haria Sharala Mashalia Tilia Chalamas Kava Sheria Tilia Shilia Love We Love You Love Lord, we worship you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we bless you, Lord. Ria mama shiria telemash. Aramaha shiria tiria tirigamashna. Aria salama shiria tilia tilia varamash. Karian tiria telemash alalamash. Arian davatika damash alamash. Aria seria telemash no namashna. Arias no, oh Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, oh come, let us. Adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Oh, come. Oh, come, let
Amen. Give Jesus a good clap offering. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. Praise God. Well, since this is our Christmas celebration, I know today is the 26th, Boxing Day, but we all wish you a very blessed Christmas and a wonderful spirit-filled and graceful New Year next year. Amen. Praise God. And after the service today, we do have some food and fellowship available for you all. I'm not sure whether they have the traditional Christmas turkey with cranberry sauce. No, I don't think so, right? Okay. And maybe next year. But incidentally, we will be moving into our new place by January the 9th. So we got one more Saturday service. And then the next one, we will be moving into the new place on January the 9th. And all the brochures are at the back on the place and the venue. And all the driving shortcuts inside too, like Lorong Lish, Lorong 1 and all that. Okay, thank you. So we wanted all the shortcuts, the bus services. And there are people on the internet that ask that we put the directions also. So I've got some email to ask to put the directions on the internet, how to get to the place, the buses and all that. So the brochure make available on the internet too. So on January the 9th, and so there'll be a soft opening as we go in on January the 9th, and we will still have one more service here, and one more Thursday, Friday meeting in the first week, which is January the 7th and 8th, and then the 9th, we will be in a new place. So take notes of that. So we are going to next year, it's in our own premises, so we're going to have a wonderful Christmas organized next year with lots of activities and carol singing, which I really miss carol singing. And I was going all over Singapore looking for carol singing. Not much carol singing, but we hope to have more the next year. Praise God. We have the other communion too. We're going to celebrate communion, Christmas communion, followed by the offertory. Praise God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We're going to celebrate for this year. This will be our last communion together. And then we move into 2010. Hallelujah. As the emblems, the bread and the cup being passed to you, I'll read from John chapter 6, where Jesus tells us in verse 48, he says, I am the bread of life. Your father ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and may not, die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If a man eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in him. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Hallelujah. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Our forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on the bread will live forever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So on this day, and as we are receiving the emblems, let us stand up before the Lord. And after prayers, we'll partake together into the body of Jesus and into the cup of the blood of the new covenant. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you have so graciously gave to us your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to earth 2,000 years ago, died on the cross, rose again, went back to heaven to be seated on your right-hand side. And in doing so, Lord, he releases your forgiveness to the sins of all mankind. He releases your life to us who choose to believe. And today, Father, as we gather here, I ask that you bless every one of us who are partaking into this Holy Communion. Lord, may we be strengthened, united together through the body of Jesus, through the love of Christ, through the Word of God. May we be transformed, Lord, by the blood, by the life of God, and by the living Word of God, as we partake into the body of Jesus and into the blood of the new covenant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's partake together as a family. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this blessing which we just have partaken. And indeed, we are blessed in our spirit, our soul, and our body. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. And as we prepare now to give unto the Lord, I'd like to read to you some scriptures from Luke chapter 5. Which talks about the Lord providing for his disciples. Most of his disciples were fishermen, and they were catching fish, but they caught nothing. So we look at Luke chapter 5. We're reading from verse 4. Jesus was speaking from the boat, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled the partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Now, if you have been fishing before, you know that when there's no fish, there's actually no fish, no matter what you do. But these are professional fishermen. They've been fishing, they caught no fish. But Jesus said, "Let down your nets." And they obeyed the Lord. And when they pull up the nets are full of big fishes. And how it come to pass is, Jesus is never a magician, okay? I believe, this is what I did some time back. I went trawling, and what we do, we lay the nets, and then we took a sampan, and at night, and we hit the water with the oars. And as we hit the water with our oars, there's a turbulence. It caused a turbulence in the water. And as we row our boat towards the net and we hit the water with our oars, the turbulence panicked the fish. And we can see the fishes jumping, some of them jumping over the water, and we drive them right into the nets. So I believe that this could be something. I'm saying it could. It's not Bible required, but it could. Some of the things that the angels, God sent the angels, and the angels move fast, and from all over the place where there are fishes, the angels could be driving the fish into the net, and that's how the fishes are caught. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So tonight, this afternoon, as we are prepared to give unto the Lord, know that the Lord, with all his angels around us, know the needs of his people. And there's nothing to worry about as we look up to the Lord, as we give unto the Lord, we know the Lord will help us and meet out with our needs. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Father God, for your word of encouragement. Lord, that even as you have provided for the fishermen in the days of old, you will meet up with the needs of all your people. As we give unto you, and even for those of us who are unable to give unto you, Lord, I pray for every one of us that you will continue, Lord, to be our provider. Thank you, Father. And bless the offerings that are being collected for the work of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we now have some announcement, and we wish every one of you a blessed Christmas.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We invite right now all the children to proceed to Children's Church celebration. The Children's Church will have their own Christmas celebration this afternoon. And I've seen the Children's Church program, the food, the exchange, the gifts that they prepared. I want to go there. Hallelujah. And so we invite all the children at the age of 12 to below proceed to Children's Church right now for your very own COG Glory Kids Christmas celebration. And if you are age of 13 or 14, you may try to squeeze in. Hallelujah. Just ask permission from the teachers and just enjoy the celebration together with all the children. And we have also released the calendar for 2010, and it's made available at the book table at the end there. Just as you enter the auditorium, the calendar for next year's Saturday service, preaching schedule, and also our all-night prayer, and also on the Thursday, Friday, our regular Bible study session. So take one of these leaflet back. It's 2010 calendar, and also, of course, the new venue leaflet, our new venue leaflet, and all the information by bus and by driving, the detailed information, and how to find the shortcut, the fastest way during peak period, all that, we have placed that in the new venue leaflet as well. We'll make it available in the internet by this coming week as well. Amen. This year, we have also finish our series, the various series that we have, the how-to series for 2009, the Grace, Prosperity Through Grace series, and the End Time series, and also the Church Camp meeting session. So all these series are made available for sale. Just at the end of the service, if you would like to purchase any of these series for MP3, $10 per series, just go at the end of the book table there at the end of the service and make your order. So next year in 2010 January, when Pastor Peter is back, we look forward to have all the new series beginning. Amen. Praise the Lord. The all-night prayer series, the Saturday training session, Thursday, Friday Bible study, Saturday series. Next year, all things are made new, including the new series. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we all look forward for that. And this year, we close 2009, and all the series are made available for sale at the end of the book table, including some of you who have missed the church camp, want to purchase it, go ahead and order it at the end of the service. And as usual, all the messages and services are made free online on the internet. You can always access it, www.cathedralofglory.com or www.petertan.net. Amen. Praise the Lord. We now have Pastor Peter Tan to come forward as he ministers the final sermon for 2009. Amen. Praise the Lord.
After the final sermon, we can have the Last Supper too. Yeah. Praise God. And so we look for someone to give the one with the dip inside the sauce. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer as we look at your Christmas message today. Father, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. Continue to establish grace upon our lives. We thank you, Father, that you continue and you have done great things this year. Father, within this half a year, Lord, you have brought us to the place where we are today. And we thank you, Lord, as we look forward to the next year. And we know, Lord, that it's going to be a wonderful year next year. Not only for the church, not only for the ministry, but for each member in their personal life, in their family life, and in their professional life, and in their businesses, and all the various walks of life. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we're going to launch into this wonderful time of prayer next year. And we know, Lord, we're going to launch it with fasting and prayer. And we ask, O God, that even as we consecrate ourselves to you, that you would cause us, O Lord, to be filled afresh. Like this outpouring of rain that we're having, O Lord. Let it be a spiritual outpouring. Something, Lord, that quenches the thirst in our hearts. Something that touches our lives and fills us with your Spirit once again. And as we approach this new year, we approach with fear and trembling, always humbling ourselves before you. We ask, O God, that you would continue to teach us your ways, anoint us, teach us the things, O Lord, and strengthen that which you have taught. And cause us, O God, to be filled with a new vision, a new hope, and a new endowment of your power and of your Spirit. Thank you, Father. Even as we celebrate this Christmas, we thank you, Father, we remember all that Jesus has done. And we pray, Father God, that you continue to open our eyes to see all the beauty that is in Jesus. All the wonderful blessings that you have for us in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father. And we always seek to honor you, to love you, to give you praise and honor forevermore. For to you belong all glory. And for all that you have done this year, to you be all the glory. For all that you are doing, to you be all the glory. For all that you're going to do even the next year, we give you all the glory. To you always, O God. For there's no one more important than the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that he is, for you have ordained that his name be highly lifted up. And the Holy Spirit himself desires to glorify the name of Jesus. To the glory of you, our Father. Thank you, Father. And let your presence and strengthening be upon our lives even today. Teach us, O God, your word. And cause your Spirit to come upon us afresh. In Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's look at some Christmas passage in the Bible, in the Gospel of Luke. Praise God. The Gospel of Luke. And we have in the Gospel of Luke the birth of Jesus Christ. And let's read from Luke chapter 2. Verse 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 2. Says here, this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone, to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now they were in the same country, shepherds, living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. If only they will know that we keep singing about them every year. And so they were watching out their flock by night. And verse 9, behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings, a great joy which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man." Let's read verse 11 together. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went, and of course they found baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling cloth in a manger. And that's the story that you always see everywhere at Christmas time. The thing about Christmas is sometimes a few details are not quite accurate. If you notice, sometimes at Christmas place, they have a baby Jesus in a manger, and then they come, the shepherds come and kneel before baby Jesus. Anyone seen those little plays? You might have those little pictures. Then after that, they have the wise men coming in and then placing all their gifts, and all the people paying respect, all the angels appearing, and all these little details. In the Bible, the only people who visited Jesus in a manger were the shepherds. Only the shepherds. Of course, there may be cows and all the other sheep and animals there around, lying around. After it's a manger, you don't expect a manger doesn't have animals. There could be animals. Who knows, you know? Jesus in a manger, there was Mary and there was Joseph. Beside them was a big fat cow. And then Tan Ah Kiao come and visit them, right? Anyway, so, I know. So, you never, you know, all these, this is a manger. And today's manger and place are beautiful, clean, sanctified, hygienically, you know, odorized and everything. That manger was stinking, smelly, full of animals, animal sound and things not clean. It was just hurriedly put together. And the only people who knew what was happening was the shepherd. There were no wise men. The wise men saw the birth of Jesus from far, far away. But by the time they actually reached Jesus, Jesus was between 1 to 2 years old. Oh yes, wise men never got to see the manger. All the stories, cartoons they draw, all this play have to be revised. The wise men never got to see the manger. Who knows, by the time they reached the manger could have been torn down. We do not know. They didn't reach a manger. It took them nearly about 1 to 2 years to reach a manger. So is this in the Bible? Where do you get this story from? From the Bible. I don't know which Bible they were singing from or the plays were doing. But this Bible in the Gospel of Matthew, where you talk about the wise men. See, the shepherds are mentioned in Luke. The wise men are mentioned in Matthew. So it did say in Matthew chapter 2 verse 1, also the second chapter. In Matthew chapter 2 verse 1 it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem." So the wise men were from afar. And in the days of Herod, behold, wise men from the east came. And because they arrived, but you look at verse 2. It says, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." So when Jesus was born, they saw some sort of heavenly sign, a star, and they started the journey. And in verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, because if you read history, Herod himself had helped to build the Jews the temple. And quote unquote, he liked the title King of the Jews himself. So here is the wise man saying, "Where is the King of the Jews? So Herod was looking at them thinking, why didn't they say, I am the one? But instead they were looking for somebody else. Now, he was jealous, troubled, insecure. And then in verse 4, Herod gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together. He inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they say, in Bethlehem. And so in verse 7, Herod secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. See, Herod, when he met the wise man, had to find out when did the star appear. So it's approximately 1 to 2 years ago. And then in verse 8, he said to the wise man, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search carefully for the young child. Now notice, no more baby, because he's 1, 2 years old. For the young child, he didn't say for the baby. Says for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Of course, he's bluffing, for he wanted to kill Jesus. And in verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, a star which they had seen in the east went before them. So when the wise men went towards Bethlehem, they saw the star appear again. And it came and it stood over where the young child was. So there was a young child, baby Jesus. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And verse 11, look at where they went to. When they had come into the house, not manger, house. It was a house. They never saw the manger. All this, you know, plays about the shepherd come, wise men come, all those, forgot to read their Bible. So they should have shown, you know, maybe, you know, baby Jesus, the shepherds come, and then the wise men very slow in the play. Starting off. The end of the play, they come, Jesus grown up. Get a 1 or 2 year old child. And then change scenery, change to a house. And then the wise men arrive. Ah, it's a house. And then the star appear over the young child. And the wise men, of course, gave him, fell down and worshiped him. And they opened their treasures. They presented gifts to him. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then God warned them, you know, to secretly go off and not to tell Herod. And so it was all in a house. In a house that a scenery took place. And incidentally, tradition might have said there were three wise men, but we do not know whether there were more than three wise men. How do we know there were three wise men? Because the Christmas carols say it. You know? Where did he get the tree from? Perhaps from the three blind mice, the three wise men. Three blind mice. So three wise men, right? And but of course we know they got the tree from the three gifts. Thinking each one brought one gift. I don't think so. It might have been each one will bring more than one gift. As if the wise men so organized. Remember their king. And they say, okay, you bring the gold. And what's the name there? You know, King Akau. Okay, Akau bring the gold. Ahmad, you bring frankincense. And Ramasamy. what's the other one? Oh, for you, myrrh. Okay. And gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And each one brings something. And no, I don't think so. Probably they all brought some gold. They all brought some incense. And so if the each one bring one gift, if each one bring only one gift, then possibly there were only three of them. But unlikely. There could have been five wise men. There could have been 20 wise men. Of course, that's too much. Because King Herod will panic, had a heart attack. Ah, wow, so many wise men. Suddenly, how many wise men came to visit Jesus? Oh, we are the first 20. There's another 200,000 more. He gets very jealous. So no, I'm sure there were some wise men. We don't know how many they were. The Bible did not say they went to the manger. The Bible did not say that there were only three. There could have been five. And if you were a king, right? These three wise men are like rulers and influential people. Do you think they travel alone? No. I mean, they may have brought their escort and all their gifts and camels and all their bodyguards and all those people. There could have been a troop of people there coming. So there could be many of them. Brought all the gifts, laid it before Jesus. And how do we know of the average age? Because when Herod found out that the wise man had secretly gone off and he didn't know where Jesus was, which house? He knew they had gone to visit the house. Which house? He didn't know. Which child? He didn't know. And he did a very cruel thing. He killed every child 2 years and below. He was trying to get rid of Jesus. So then again confirms that by the time the wise man came to Jesus, he was 1-2 years old. He's a toddler. And so Jesus was not in rat and swallowing claw. And then they come and he's just born, you know, just born a few minutes. And the shepherd looks, of course the shepherd looks, cute baby Jesus just came out from the womb. Wise man came, it was still cute, okay? Cute toddler Jesus. And all the wise men bowing to toddler Jesus and giving all those gifts. That is why Herod was looking for toddlers 2 years and under. Most likely Jesus has learned to speak a few words. I wonder what Jesus' first words were. I mean, surely you don't expect that Jesus don't have to learn any words, right? Jesus has to learn a language too. Anybody want to guess? I mean, there are no prizes here. Christmas, but no prizes. Afterward, we got catered lunch, but no prizes, right? Hopefully next year we have roast turkey. I'm just looking at my wife. She's good at roast turkey, right? Okay. So anyway, what would Jesus' first words be? A little boy. Well, maybe Abba Father, right? Good guess, Abba Father. Some of you guess Abba Father, right? You're smiling here. I could see your thoughts over there, you know. Abba Father, right? You know, some at the back, they say, Shalom, right? Okay, coming from the back, some thought wave. You didn't speak, but your thoughts speak louder than your faces, right? And Jesus is... That was a real story of Jesus in the Bible. So the next year, if any one of you teach the children Sunday school or all the plays and all that, please revise the play, right? And make sure it's more biblically accurate. And but as we look at this story of Jesus, we see looking back that such a destruction that Herod, supposedly the kind person who built the Jews a synagogue, such a cruel man of war, Jesus, baby Jesus, brought peace to the world. Let's see the angel's message again in Gospel of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. Verse 14. I always like that one and that old hymn that says, you know, glorious in excelsis Deo, glorious in excelsis Deo. I think that one might be angels we have heard on high. Right, that's the one. Okay, and so. That is a wonderful good. I say glory to God in the highest. And as a Baptist, I used to sing that song because we always forgot all the words. And so we're all waiting for the glory. Then we say, glory. Then we all go, oh. And glorious, right? And so indeed it is glory to God in the highest. And the message is, and on earth, peace. Goodwill
to man. Now, when we look at the word peace, what does peace signify? We always think of peace in terms of human relationship with one another, national relationship with one another when countries are at peace. But peace, such a simple word from the Greek word irene, and which means peace. So if your name is Irene, it derived from the word irene in the Greek, which means peace. Peace. And sometimes we look at peace and we take it for granted, especially those of us who had not known war. But without peace, countries cannot prosper. Without peace, society cannot build itself up if it's constantly at war. There is something about natural peace that's important. And the timing of Jesus in coming to the planet Earth was such that the Roman Empire, which is actually a very warlike empire, has conquered a whole region and brought peace to all the regions under the Roman rule, so that they could traverse the far distant corners of the empire freely in a time of peace that the gospel could continue to go on. But of course, we all know that persecution, Christianity still will thrive. But in peace, Christianity can also thrive even more. Now, the peace that is mentioned and announced from the moment Jesus comes, he is also known, one of his titles, he is the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. And to us, we may think, oh, Christmas, you know, we greet each other. If we were Jews, we would greet each other with shalom, which is the Hebrew word for peace. And anyone who's learned Hebrew, they know that the word shalom also means goodwill, good blessings and tidings and help to you and blessings to you, prosperity to you. It includes all those things. But why do they summarize it in one word, shalom? Shalom unto us, and that is the greeting that they greet one another. And in the Bible, you have grace and peace to you. So you added charis, but peace is always still there, a common standard. Why is this peace? Number one, the peace that Jesus came to give is not an earthly peace. It is a supernatural peace that comes from the Spirit of God. Not from the natural into the spiritual, but the spiritual into the natural. John chapter 14, verse 27. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give unto you. It tells us that. Let's look at John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I gave to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So we are talking about Christmas Day. And we all say, we wish you a Merry Christmas, we wish you a Merry Christmas. You know, also, why your voice so sore now? No, you always, Santa Claus is the one singing with a big tummy. You know, Santa Claus actually did some dieting too, right? And they wish one another peace, but we forgot that the peace we are wishing one another sometimes is a supernatural spiritual peace. Not as the world gave. And the peace, if really this Christmas you have peace, your heart will not be troubled. It says here, let not your heart be troubled, neither will you be afraid. And every time Christmas comes, you know that the new year is around the corner. Do you look at the new year peering over with fear? Wondering what's going to happen next? Or do you look over in the new year with hope and faith and joy? How you look depends upon whether the real peace of Jesus has come into your heart. And the thing about the peace of Jesus is you can have it no matter what circumstances you are in. No matter what kind of situation you are in. And no matter whether you find that you're on a valley, you're down a valley, you're deep in a hole, you're at the bottom of the barrel, wherever you are, the peace doesn't come from our circumstances. It doesn't come from the natural. It comes from the Spirit. It is a Christmas gift. The best present you ever had. Think about it. What would your life be without peace? You won't sleep. You can't sleep. Your family can't be in harmony. Your relationship with others won't be in harmony. And you extend that further, countries cannot be in harmony with one another. Christmas message is a Christmas of peace, yes, but it's not just peace, it is His peace. It is God's peace upon us, a supernatural peace. Number two, it's a transferable peace. You could have your peace upon you, and you could transfer that peace into another person. Remember how Jesus stilled the storm? When the storm was arising and the disciples in the boat were afraid, Jesus stood up. He didn't say quiet. He didn't say calm. He didn't say hush. He says, peace, be still. And the storm ceased. Completely. Just His word, peace. It's transferable. In the book of Luke chapter 9, when He sent His disciples two by two, Jesus send His disciples two by two in verse 1. He gathered His 12 disciples, gave them authority to preach the gospel, and then He sent them out two by two. Now, I'm sure He gave many instructions which we do not know of, which in Luke chapter 10, He repeats to the 70 whom He also sent out. And as He sent out the 70, He says to them in verse 5, Luke chapter 10 verse 5, but whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house, shalom to this house. Well, it's all right to say, but He's not just saying it as a tradition. It says in verse 6, and if the Son of Peace is there, that is to attract the peace there, your peace will rest on it. Look at it. Personalized. Do you see the word personalized? The word your, it's in verse 6. Your peace will rest on it. But if not, it will return to you. That's the interesting thing. So Jesus says, when you go on two by two, when you preach the gospel, when you see a house there, and the people are friendly, and you say, peace to this house, or shalom to this house, and something from you goes to the house, and suddenly the whole house got peace. Something about the air, the atmosphere. And who knows, in the house, two children were quarreling. My toy, your toy, my toy, your toy. Outside, peace to this house. Oh, it's all right, it's yours. No, take it. And the other child said, no, it's yours, take it. No, it's yours, take it. Now the only quarrel is who will give. Suddenly the peace comes to the house. Peace is something transferable. So when you greet one another, you know, we wish you a Merry Christmas. Not just a wish. Oh, Christian is more powerful. We impart the peace. Shalom! And the peace comes. You know, of course, you don't have to frighten them with your voice. It's not very peaceful when you get up at 5 a.m. and say, "Peace be to you!" Right? Hey, that is the start of quarrel in the middle of the morning. And so, you say peace, your peace can go to the person. Very powerful. You know, so when you wish, you know, that's why we use the word blessed Christmas. You can use Mary too, if you're feeling, you know, you like Mary. Although Mary had to go like medicine. But, you know, when you bless another person, you say peace to you, peace to the house. And if you learn to take authority anywhere you go, of course, you can transfer it to your working place. So after this Christmas, actually you started work today, right? In Australia, it's still holiday today. But when you start your work, after Christmas, yeah, and you go to the office, you say, peace to this building. The building could be 50-story tall. Shoom, your peace comes with it. You know? And so, you know, upstairs, they could be having a board meeting, halfway quarreling, somebody about to jump down. You know? and they say, ish. No, I'm sorry, forgive me, you know. Oh, so the peace comes on the building. So some of you are a bit frightened, say, I don't know, my peace can fill the whole 50-story. My peace can only fill one room. So you try to give your peace to the 50-story. Peace! No more peace. And then, no, you don't have enough peace. But we're talking about peace that is transferable. But the interesting thing is, you can also take it back. Look at Jesus say, If they don't want the peace and they reject you, I don't know whether you have to say anything. I don't think so. You don't have to say, return the old peace. So, and you take all the peace away. And then the house starts quarreling. Right. We know we give peace, but we never take peace away. The only thing is, the peace doesn't stick to them. But we can impart peace. There's an authority that God gives to us that has peace that can impart to people. And how? To what level does it impart? Not only to the environment, peace feels within, peace feels without. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. It says here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praiseworthy, meditate on this thing. He says, the peace of God in verse 7, which surpasses all understanding, beyond our understanding. We don't have to understand, we only have to enjoy and feel it. Will guard your hearts and mind. The word guard is the Greek word garrison. Garrison. And so if you read the Amplified Version, it says the peace of God will garrison. And then in some cross-references on the explanation of the Greek word, it builds bulwarks, fortress, all around you. And in some incidents, it talked about even with soldiers guarding the whole place. Wow. It didn't know the peace of God is a powerful guardian. That is why the peace of God is not very fragile in the things of God. Peace of God is powerful. It garrisons, it guards our hearts and mind, so that you can hear good news, bad news, no news, top news, low news, high news, hot news, not so hot news, cold news, whatever doesn't affect, because your mind and your heart has a garrison. A thick layer of peace cannot penetrate. All the troubles of the world, all the things of the world cannot disturb that peace, because your peace is more powerful than the things in the world. It garrisons your heart and mind. It garrisons us inside, and as you mentioned, as we saw, it's transferable. It transfers to any other. You extend the boundary of that peace. And if you're in authority in a home, you could declare the peace of God anywhere. And even the raging storm, Jesus says, peace be still. And if one day you so happen to own a farm, might not be in Singapore, but let's say in some plain somewhere, in a tornado area, and you've done all your best to escape. Of course, you don't take the risk, so in that area, if you live in a tornado area, probably you have a tornado shelter. And let's say you couldn't escape, and it's all happened so fast. And so what you do is you stand right where the tornado is coming, if it's heading on track to you, lift up your hands to the Lord and say, yeah, that's right. No, all I hear from you is, shh. No, tornado, don't listen to that one. Yeah, you think a tornado very noisy, right? So, shh, I'm sleeping here, don't disturb me, right? No, not powerful enough. So you have to lift your hands up and say, peace be still. But before you do that, you must have peace. Then nothing to give, right? The tornado already got lots of energy and wind. Your little air from your mouth go, pew, nothing much. But it's the spiritual force. And you could lift up your hands and say, peace be still. And the tornado go around your house to the other house. They say, how cruel. Don't you care for the neighbor? All right, right. Add the neighbor also. And maybe, you know, if the neighbor knows the Lord or whatever, or if they know God, they also cry out to God. Now, those who don't cry to God, that's different. But those who call upon the Lord, peace, there will be protection. And of course, you can do that, and then you can say, all right, it's done, and you go down, you know, and enjoy your whatever, in your little shelter. But there is an authority we know not of. Perhaps some of you say, hey, tornado, too much for me. All right, try your little storm. And, you know, maybe somewhere along the line, some of you are talking about your fishing story. Let's say, you know, Jimmy goes trawling fishing, right? Somewhere out near, where do you fish here in Singapore? Orchard Road. Changi area, okay. Because I don't know where your fishing spots are. You know, there are fishing spots, I'm sure. And so not the causeway, right? Where you know, alright. So you go fishing there, and let's say the thunderstorm suddenly come, and of course you do your natural. You know, you don't ignore the natural. You protect yourself as much as you can. You go on your journey. You're doing your best, and you're moving as fast as you can. But the storm is still coming. It looks dangerous. It looks vicious. And you got nothing to lose. Right? You have done everything in the natural. You got nothing to lose. That's the time to practice what you learned this Christmas Day. And then you raise up your hand and then you say, we wish you a Merry Christmas. Wrong song, wrong sermon. No. You lift up your hands and you say, peace be still. And you watch and see. But before that, you must be prayed up. You must have peace inside you. So some of you are never prayed up. So by the time you pray, start praying. Because why? You never pray in tongues but only 5 minutes a year. And so you try. By the time you pray up, the storm overtake already. Too late. The other half of prayer is somewhere in the sea, right? I mean, couldn't pray with water in your mouth. Couldn't even speak in tongues, right? And so, supposedly, you live your normal Christian life, you know that, but whatever, no harm. Lift up your hand, peace be still, and watch and see. Whatever measure of peace of your inside will come forth. That's how Jesus calmed the storm. Point number three, even the devil himself is afraid of our peace. Oh yes, of all the aspects, he's afraid of peace. In the book of Romans, chapter 16. Let's look at the book of Romans. Romans. And we have in Romans, chapter 16, verse 20. And it says here, and the God of peace. It didn't say the God of power. It didn't say the God of might. It didn't say the God of holiness. Now, all these things are good. They are part of God. But of all the attributes, all the thousands of attributes that God has, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So remember, if you have the supernatural peace, you have the peace that passes understanding that garrison you, then that can be imparted upon others. If that peace is in your life, and you're always walking about with the peace that is in your life, a supernatural peace, not a natural peace, Satan is under your feet. Satan is under your feet. The time when you lose your peace is when Satan is no more under your feet. So you want to keep Satan under your feet, you learn to have the peace of God on your inside. Grace and peace are multiplied through the Word of God. The book of 1 Peter. And as you know God's Word and you rest upon Him, peace can be multiplied. It can be multiplied so strong that you literally walk over Satan. And think about that. Satan is the one who gets frustrated. He tempts you, no response, your person of peace. He tries to make it easy for you to lure you, no response, your man of peace. He makes life hard for you, you're still peaceful. He throws all his weapons against you, you have no response, you're still peaceful. He sends his ICBM missile, boom, at you. What is ICBM? Intercontinental Ballistic Missile. Boom, you got your peace. Doesn't affect you. But when you walk in that peace, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. That is why the Bible talks about holding your peace. You know how to hold your peace. You will not allow yourself to be ruffled. You will not allow anyone to steal that peace that you have received. Not just on Christmas Day, but the peace that is always in your heart. God guarding you, flowing out from you. And it's number three, a peace that crushes Satan under your feet. So it's a valuable thing. Now you know why Satan likes to upset you and get rid of your peace. Because the moment he does that, he's out from under your feet. So you're going to keep him under your feet. Walk in peace. And you will always 100% defeat the devil. And it will be Tanakao 100, Satan 0. Because Tanakao has learned his peace. But you don't have peace. Tanakao 0, Satan 100. You lose the battle. We need a God of peace always upon our lives. Fourthly, peace is also a road that we walk. If you want to be led by the Spirit and you want to know what the future is, you want to know which decision to make and what areas, and we're always making decisions all the time, the way that has the greatest peace is the right way. In the Gospel of Luke, in singing the song, in the Gospel of Luke, Zechariah was filled with the Spirit, and he prophesied and he sang. When the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he was not able to speak for some time, and now after nearly a year not speaking, he started speaking, he prophesied, and then he said, in verse 79 of Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 verse 79. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the way of peace. You see, I didn't know peace was a way. Peace is a method. A way is a direction. So whenever you're seeking a direction from God, follow the path that is paved by peace. Supernatural peace, not talking about outward peace. Your heart is peaceful. Your mind is peaceful. That road is paved with peace. That is the right road to take. And so it all began when Jesus came. And we know it's not Christmas Day, probably around April, because the shepherds are out in a flock. But it's a good time to celebrate and remember His first coming and His death for us on the cross. That the reason Jesus came, and it would be a shame if we have been Christians all our life and we lack the most basic thing, He came. Glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace. Peace and goodwill to man. Do you notice goodwill only comes after peace? Peace must come. It's a supernatural peace. It's a transferable peace. It's an overcoming and powerful peace. It is a directional peace that shows you the road and the way. And if you have not come to know the Lord Jesus, you have not made Him your Lord and Savior, you have no idea of this deep peace that He can give to you. You came with your loved one, you can talk to them and ask them about this peace. And for those of us who are believers in Him, don't lose your peace. Don't ever lose the peace. That peace is powerful. It garrisons our heart and mind. Transferable. Overcomes the devil. And it is your little lamp that shows the direction to take. The way of peace. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank You. We praise You, Lord, for all Your blessings to our lives. We thank You for this Christmas season that we can enjoy a time of holiday, a time, O God, with family, a time, O God, to celebrate the coming of Jesus, a time, O Father God, to reflect upon our lives and our relationship with Jesus. We pray, Father God, that You would establish peace in our heart and in our life. Establish it, Lord, and cause us, O God, to know this wonderful peace You have in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we sing that one closing song, the glorious and I hope you can find that. Right, that one before the greeting song. Thank you. I think it's Angels We Have Heard on High. And as long as we got the chorus, I'm all right with the chorus. Praise God. Let's all rise and sing our last Christmas carol together. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing the chorus until they find the stanza. At least I know the chorus part. Right?
Still say
Jesus. Praise God. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious upon you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you grace and might and power. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. And don't forget, give Jesus a good clap offering. And enjoy all your food. Enjoy all your feasting. Remember, there's a 40-day fast coming. I'm not sure whether good news for you all, but good news for me. I look forward to the fast. And if anyone of you got questions on a fast, perhaps in one corner, I'll answer your questions. If you have got questions on going on a 40-day fast, at one side and one corner, I'll answer all your questions. Because officially, the fast starts on the 4th, but you can start earlier, you can start later, and you miss a few days here and there, replace it later. And whatever, however way, just join the fast in whatever way capacity. It's a corporate fast. It's going to be very powerful. Praise God.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz
Navidad.
And a Merry Christmas and a
spirit filled new year to you. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
I want to wish you.
Amen.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Amen.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.
Feliz Navidad. God bless you.
Feliz Navidad.
God bless you.
Feliz Navidad.
And I believe that
you will be available at the
back. God bless you. Thank you, Father. Bless and thank you for the food in Jesus' name and the fellowship.
Feliz Navidad.
God bless you.
Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart. You a Merry Christmas from the bottom of my heart.